Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Dev Accelerator Limited Q2 H1 FY26 earnings conference call. I have with me Mr. Parth Shah, Chairman and Whole-Time Director, Mr. Umesh Uttamchandani, Managing Director, Mr. Rishit Shah, Whole-Time Director, Mr. Parin Shah, Joint Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Parthiv Panchal, Joint Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Anjan Trivedi, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer. Before we proceed, I would like to bring to your attention that certain statements made during this discussion may constitute forward-looking statements. These statements are based on current expectations, assumptions, and beliefs regarding the future development and inherently subject to various risks and uncertainties and factors beyond our control. Such forward-looking statements involve both known and unknown risks, and we advise you to interpret them with caution. As a reminder, all the participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone telephone. I now hand the conference to over Mr. Umesh Uttamchandani, Managing Director, for opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you so much, moderator. First of all, a very good afternoon to everybody and a warm welcome from Dev Accelerator Limited. This is our first earnings conference call for the quarter and half year ended 30th September 2025. I trust everybody had an opportunity to go through the documents of our results, investor presentation, and the media releases that has been shared with stock exchanges as well as on our website. So before we jump on the business operations, since this is our first call, I'll probably do the best part that I like is explain you as to what we do as DevX. So Dev Accelerator Limited is the name of our venture. I'll constantly, say it as DevX because that is how we brand it. We are an enterprise-focused, full-solution-managed workspace platform, wherein what we essentially do is provide custom-built offices to mid- to large-size enterprises under a single service-level agreement, which covers right from identifying the office premises to providing bespoke fit-outs, providing them technology integration, and then managing the day-to-day operations with which also includes facility management. The two partners of the company, which are with me on the call, we started this company back in 2017 with a vision to offer enterprise-grade solutions to mid- to large-size enterprises and provide them turnkey workspace solutions so that they can start their business offices at a faster scale and also offer them consistent interiors to all of them across multiple cities. In 2018, the first center went live from the city called Ahmedabad, and today we have a very large presence in the city and growing across 12 cities today while we speak of, and we have 28 centers having 8.8 lakh square feet of asset under management, which are being currently used by 13,600 people on a day-to-day basis. We also plan to add additionally 6,000 seats with 4.5 lakh square feet, which is under fit out, which probably I'll throw some more light on it under the business and going forward details in the next quarter. Before I jump off, I'll share as to what the industry has for us and the opportunities that the industry has created in the last decade for all the service providers. So the outlook and within the industry is very strong and positive. As we can see, the sector is growing at a 20% CAGR, and it is assumed to scale at a rapid pace till 2030. Along with that, we are seeing a stronger push coming in from Global Capability Centers, which is coined as GCC, and that market is also expanding at a 7-9% CAGR. So, which showcases that there is a sustained enterprise demand which is constantly coming in for turnkey and custom-built offices, which are looking at a core plus flex adoption, which obviously needs faster time to start their operations. With all the tailwinds globally, and the trade wars that are happening, India still remained a very buoyant market for the leasing sector. As a country, we clocked 39.5 million square feet of gross office leasing in the first half of 2025, which was largely contributed by global occupiers in the quarter two, and they were contributing 61% towards the consumption of this leasing space, which is a testament to the fact that as a country, we are now becoming a capability center for all the global companies who are looking to set up their offices in India. As I keep on saying that India is today an office to the world, and flexibility has become a core fundamental requirement of the consumption. Quarter two of 2025, Flex almost did 4.5 million square feet of leasing, which is 65% incremental on a year-on-year comparison basis. As I said, the core fundamental of adoption of office spaces is core, that is traditional real estate plus Flex adoption, which ultimately is able to give agility and flexibility to the occupiers. For DevX, this ultimately translates into strong preference for turnkey design, and we becoming their build and operate partners so that we can help our customers scale faster, provide them multi-city coverage and effective service level agreements, which is our core strength. While all this is happening, the growth is happening at tier 2 cities or non-metros as well, because larger talent pools are now intending to stay in tier 2 cities. The occupancy levels are increasing in grade A assets in tier 2 cities, and the connectivity between tier 2 cities and with tier 1 cities and hubs has also been phenomenally increasing. There's a policy push as well. A lot of states like Karnataka has come up with a GCC policy from 2024 to 2029, wherein the target is to bring in 500 new GCCs and add 3.5 lakh jobs till 2029, which ultimately showcases the strength of 4 plus flex model and growing beyond the bigger metros. For DevX, our core strength has always been our presence and the resilient model that we have created within Tier 2 cities, and our footprint showcases that fact. The playbook that we have designed for Tier 2 cities has been phenomenally proven, and consistently standardized output has been generated by us. So overall, the industry outlook looks very buoyant and positive with respect to leasing and flex office is leasing within that. The operational business outlook, if I give within DevX, as covered earlier, we are today operating with 28 centers in 12 cities, managing 8.9 lakh square feet asset under management, having a very strong occupancy levels of 88%, which showcases that customers or enterprise clients have been trusting us and keeping the belief in us on a continuous basis. On the expansion front, I would like to share a very positive news that for the first time in Tier 2 cities, we are coming up with a single largest managed office space campus. We are launching that in Ahmedabad in partnership with a developer called Zaveri. And that asset is going to go live from the month of January. Before going live, we already have achieved 95% occupancy levels. So, A, it is a landmark project for us. Tier 2 city, a single managed office space campus of 3.15 lakh square feet, that is unheard of. And secondly, achieving a 95% occupancy, even before going live, is a testament to the fact the customers have a strong belief in us in Tier 2 cities. Once the center goes live, our revenue would increase by 2.5 crores on a month-on-month basis, and our seat count would increase by almost 4,000 seats. This would give a very strong impetus to our margin, and our return on capital deployed would increase significantly. Why the ROC would increase in this specific asset is because we have a strong high city, and we prefer taking up assets on long-term rent-free basis. And that rent-free period would eventually support us in increasing or making our ROC much more efficient. This also is a testament to the rising Bharat story, broadly, we have seen tier one cities taking up larger campuses of 3 lakhs to 5 lakhs square feet per year. This is for the first time that is happening. So that tier two city like Ahmedabad, we are opening up a managed office space campus. So the entire rising story of Bharat is what we are counting upon. And the adoption of mid to large size enterprises towards flexible office spaces is where our strong strength is. And the contributors for us is enterprise clients and GCCs who are taking up spaces with us for not only shorter duration, but for extremely long duration. Our average lock-in in this new asset with the clients that are taken up is 44 months, which is slightly higher than our average lock-in that we have achieved across these years. On the capital deployment side, we had committed in our IPO that we would be using 73.1 crores towards our growth, that is for fit-out investment, 35 crores towards repayment of our borrowing, and the remaining amount from 143 crores as general corporate purposes. So this ensures that our model is capex-light and we are also cash-efficient. Coming on the current debt numbers, everybody would be glad to know that we have curtailed our debt and we have reduced it down to 11.10 crores, which is a significant drop after our listing. So that would increase our bottom line significantly. Our revenues for the first half has grown 80% on a year-on-year basis. We have achieved a staggering 107.47 CR in the first half. Comparatively, in the previous half, it was 59.38 crores. So this is a strong half-yearly performance for us. And again, a testament to the fact that our customers have continued to believe in us and they have stayed with us for longer duration. A very interesting fact is that clients who have taken up 300 seats and beyond that have at least 42 months of lock-in duration, which is still yet to be there with us, which essentially means that 50% of our clients, which are higher than 300 seats, would be there with us, continuing to generate revenue and giving us the support to serve them, would be there with us for the next 42 months. So the first half reflects a strong, disciplined execution by our team and a sharper mix of enterprise-grade managed office spaces, which ultimately is generating results because of the higher capacity utilization and the execution team, which delivered the fit-outs on a timely basis. Just quickly glimpsing through the numbers, our EBITDA in the first half FY26 is 52.82 CR as compared to the previous year, which was 32.21 crores, which is a year-on-year growth of 64%. Our EBITDA margin has been consistently hovering around 50%. Our cash EBIT has significantly increased. We have been able to achieve 19.8 crores of cash EBIT. So this industry, and specifically us as an organization, strongly believes that this is a very cash flow positive business. So we have been effectively trying to work and reach to a higher percentage margin within cash EBIT, which today is 18.5%. The effort internally is to optimize a lot of expenses and the capital that we are doing, making it much more efficient. Over a period of time, you'll see cash EBIT margin also increasing from 18.5% and going slightly upwards. The growth that we achieved in this quarter has largely been because of the fact that we have added Surat as a center. There are three more centers which are under fit-out right now, which is including one center of 84,000 square feet in Ahmedabad, one center in Pune, which is almost 35,000 square feet of area, and the bigger center, the bigger managed office space campus of 3.15 lakh square feet. Once all of these are live, as mentioned earlier, we would incrementally add almost 4.5 lakh square feet of area in our portfolio, making it reach to 1.3 million square feet of total portfolio that we will be managing. And the seat count increasing from 13,500 seats to almost 19,000 seats. So this, the consumption that has happened is all mixture of mid to large size enterprises who are not only consuming infrastructure with us, but they are also taking up allied services Because as a platform, the objective is not only provide them space to operate on, we have a lot of allied services on top of it, like our managed IT solution, our F&B utilization, our design and build solution, and then providing them technology upgradation using our in-house AI capabilities. All of that has resulted into slightly upside of higher realization per seat and increased EBITDA margins. We have utilized the IPO proceeds largely for refinancing and repayment of our existing borrowings. And as mentioned, from 87.67 crores of loans, which was long-term debt, we have brought it down to 11.27 crores in the first half of FY26. So that reduction in cost of borrowing would also add upon in the margins in the coming quarter. The plan forward is clear and sharp for all of us internally within the management team that the focus would be on tier 2 cities. We will continue to grow and become much more stronger in tier 2 cities, while we would also handfully pick and choose cities wherein we are having back-to-back a contractual demand and expand in tier 1 cities as well. So rollouts will be phased out and there would be pre-commitments coming in from clients, which would be backed up with LOIs and security deposits issued by the customers. And it will ultimately help us to predictably grow and keep our mature centers compounding and adding upon our profitability and keep on adding newer centers in a sensible manner so that they can consistently support towards growth of the profits. We are now starting to track a real-time project management delivery so that we can improvise our timelines from 75 days to 90 days, curtail it down further, so that our go-live can be much more faster and effective. We are also bringing in leadership team at all stages so that we can continue to scale at a pace that we are at right now and ensure that the center level margins remain resilient towards the external challenges. On the client side, we are scaling our enterprise solutions by adding up a joint technology plus design and build capability offering in a single go, which earlier used to be the case where we used to offer them infrastructure and leasing solutions, then add upon all our verticals. Now the plan is to kind of start offering them from day one so that it increase our per seat realization and also grow our multi-city wallet share. That is the plan with respect to our clients. On the supply side, we have started continuing our focus on our PropCo and OpCo model, wherein the PropCo would be owning the assets and the operational piece, which we are currently doing, we would continue to deliver our design and build services to our existing customers as well as our new customers. Largely, this OpCo expansion would be backed with customers who are looking to take or sign up long-term contracts with us. This PropCo and OpCo results into higher ROCE for us. A, on the OpCo side, we would have a customer who is looking to sign up for longer duration. And on the PropCo side, we would have certain sweat equity and management fees for managing the property. So that increases the square foot realization for us. As we now move on to the next half of FY26, the entire team is extremely confident on the momentum that we have achieved in the first half. The IPO proceeds would help us give much more boost to the pipeline that we had created on the demand side. And now the objective would be to execute it with much more sharpness and efficiency and also increase our operational efficiency. We intend to improve the operating leverage from the mature centers so that they contribute higher margins. So today while we speak, 55% of our centers, which are beyond 3 years of working, have north of 95% of occupancy levels. We intend to continue with that sort of occupancy levels in the matured center. And the new centers that we are planning up, we intend to achieve north of 90% of occupancy levels in the first quarter itself after they go in line. So with a solid operating foundation and a strong core team that we have built up till this point, the credibility that enterprises and GCCs have showcased within DayWix, we are certain and sure that the multi-year demand contracts that we are signing right now we would continue to do so and create sustained value for all our stakeholders. I would now open up the floor for any questions that would have.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Aniket, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. Hello, am I audible?
Good evening, Aniket.
So, sir, I have few questions. So just wanted to understand in terms of our business model, and because I'm the new one in this kind of business. So just wanted to understand the outlook about our business.
So the outlook of our business or the industry, Aniket?
The business, what are the key segments we have, and what is our outlook for the future? So just wanted to understand.
Sure, Aniket. Thank you so much for the question. So today, we operate at almost 9 lakh square feet of asset under management. In the next few months, you would be seeing that number increasing and reaching to 1.3 million square feet of area. And majority of them, that supply is demand-backed. So what essentially happens in this industry is, as a platform, we have two sides. One is the supply side, wherein we source real estate, which can be leased by us at a certain price point. And on the other side, there is demand. And that demand for us is coming in from mid to large size enterprises who typically consume 120 seats to 800 seats. That's an ideal customer persona for us. What we essentially try and do is, on top of the infrastructure, we try and add a lot of value engineering and see if we can fulfill the requirement that the end client has. And then they give us lock-in for a longer duration. So the customer side, we typically take lock-in of 36 months to 48 months and an agreement tenure of 60 months to 72 months. On the supply side, which is the real estate side, we sign the lock-in of 36 months and an agreement tenure of 9 years. That is how essentially this model operates. And historically, what we have seen is that value-added services increases the stickiness of the clients towards us. And all the add-on solutions like F&B, running the payroll for the company, running the recruitment, providing the technology upgradation and solutions, increases the stickiness with us beyond the lock-in duration as well. So you'll be happy to know that in an industry like this, the churn rate for us is 1.2%, which essentially means that a larger set of clients are preferring to stay with us even after the lock-in duration. I hope I answered the question, sir.
Yes, sir. Got it. So, sir, can you throw some light on the expansion into tier 2 cities? So, what is the opportunity size over there?
So, I am a firm believer that the next growth story of the country would be coming from tier 2 cities. So, the Bharat rising story is what we are a firm believer of. Nationally, just to help you with some numbers, India does almost 900 million square feet of leasing, which is one-fourth the size of the US leasing market. Over a period of time, we broadly have been consumers of real estate, wherein buying and consuming was the pattern that we have witnessed historically. Now that trend is moving towards leasing. So this $1 billion consumption of leasing is eventually grow multifold. If you follow the report, that's going to grow at a rate of 9 to 10%, which essentially means that by 2032 we would be reaching at $4 billion square feet of leasing. Now, majority of this leasing today while we speak happens in tier one cities. The remaining growth that is going to happen in the coming 5 to 6 years is also coming from cities like Ahmedabad, Indore, Chandigarh, Baroda, Coimbatore, Kochi. These cities are kind of scaling up massively. A, there is a lot of infrastructure investment that has happened in the last few years. B, with the advent of COVID, employers have also realized that it need not be office in one major location. It can be a distributed workforce that can be focused upon. So people have started staying back home and started to prefer work near home rather than shifting from their base location. These are few reasons, few drivers, because of which the consumption in tier 2 cities is going to increase. And as I have covered, one strong testament is that for the first time, a city like Ahmedabad would be witnessing a single campus of 3.15 lakh square feet, which is unheard as a country and even as a city. So that is just a step towards showcasing the belief and the understanding that we have of tier 2 cities.
Got it, sir. Sir, one last question. How do you differentiate itself from the other players in the flexible workspace segment?
Right. I think interesting question. The size of the market is so big and so wide that it has not become a winner-takes-all the pie sort of a thing. So unlike other new age sectors like Q-commerce, e-commerce, where we have witnessed few players, large majority pie. In this sector, in flexible office spaces, we have started to realize that it cannot be one or two winners. It has to be segregated. This is a very hyper-local business. You need to understand the local dynamics, create a very strong supply strategy, and have a very strong, efficient operational team to deliver the expectation that your client has. So this would continue to be a sector and a segment wherein there would be a lot of players. Having said that, we have a very strong market share in tier 2 cities. So that is where our USP and differentiating factor is. We have 13% market share when it comes to tier 2 cities.
And sir, who are the match-to-match peers for us?
In tier 2 cities, we broadly enjoy a very good one, wherein the competition comes from hyper-local or the local players. Nationally, if you ask me, there are few listed players like SmartWorks, IndiCube, which are in a similar offering of providing managed office space solutions.
Okay. And sir, what about WeWork?
So the model is slightly different. There are certain players who are much more bigger and larger into co-working spaces. So ideally for us, how it works is that we would have a client beforehand who would say that I need 20,000 square feet of area and I would custom build for that client. While in a co-working space model, it is you design and keep it ready and then the customer adopts it the way it has been created. And the underlying offering remains the same with respect to the services and the operations. But the consumption of real estate is slightly different. Just to throw some light on our internal numbers, our rent-to-revenue ratio, because of the fact that we are operational efficient and present in tier 2 cities, is 2.56, which is a very strong number to reflect upon and focus on.
Got it, sir. And thank you so much, sir. All the best for the future, sir.
Thank you, Anikesh. Thank you for your question.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vikrant Sahu from RK Advisory. Please go ahead.
Very good afternoon, management. Thanks for the opportunity. Just a few questions, like what percentage of the new business is coming from existing clients existing client expansion versus new client expansions?
Thank you so much for this question, Vikrantji. It has been a core strength for us. The existing clients that stay with us after the lock-in has been substantially high. So the churn rate for us is almost negligible. We have witnessed 1/3 of our clients are multi-city clients who would take up spaces with us not only in Ahmedabad or Baroda, not only in one city, but they would expand with us wherever we are expanding, or we would expand along with them where they intend to expand. So just to cite an example, QX Global, which was our first client signed up in 2018, still happens to be a strong supporter and contributor towards our growth, is with us in more than 5 cities. So that translates into they growing with us. So 33% of our revenue comes in from existing clients who are looking to expand, and 67% in the newer centers comes from the new clients.
Okay. One more question I have, like what is the expected payback period and return on investment for new centers coming online?
Historically, we have witnessed that our return on equity has been 3 years, while the new center, the bigger one that we are doing, that is 3.15 lakh square feet that is going live in Ahmedabad, there we are forecasting it to be anywhere between 26 to 28 months because that asset was signed by us in 2023. So we had forecasted the demand in that specific micro market. The assessment and the research on the supply side was extremely strong, and today it is kind of showcasing the results. And similarly, we are planning to do it for other cities as well. Eventually, for bigger assets, the projection would be to keep it anywhere between 26 to 28 months, and across smaller assets, it would be 36%.
One more question I have, like are you observing any pricing pressure or discounting in key micro markets compared to the last year?
Well, fortunately, what we are witnessing right now is that the underlying demand, as in the number of leads that we are having communication with, has drastically increased. So it is now becoming, in few of the micro markets or few of the cities that we are operating in, it has become an operator market. So the pricing is now decided and defined by the operators. So we are probably enjoying the reverse trend right now, where in a few cities we are able to define the pricing. There have been no challenges or issues or situations when we have seen price pressure because of either competition or reduction in demand.
Okay, got it. Thank you so much for the answer, sir. I got my answer. Thank you.
Thank you, friends.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Utkarsh Somaya from Eco Quantum Solutions Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is, why are the number of seats fallen quarter on quarter?
So the number of seats today that we operate is 13,604 seats. There's a reduction of there's a reduction of 400 seats that we are seeing right now. One of the centers in Noida, we had to close down because the asset management of the facilities was not to the standard that we were preferring. However, that reduction has also resulted into we taking up newer center in that micro market, which would probably reflect back in the next couple of quarters, when the same set of clients have taken up spaces with us in the new asset.
Okay. So I could hear that their voice is muffled. I couldn't hear properly. Anyway, my next question is, so your incremental 6,000 seats which you spoke about, is this 4,000 seat lab space, is it in addition to the 6,000 or a part of the 6,000?
It is part of 6,000 seats. So, totally 5,900 seats are getting added, which includes one single center of 4,000 seats.
The revenue of which will start from 1st January, right?
Correct. So, the best part is that we've been able to achieve occupancy level even before we have gone live in that center.
And this 4,000 seats, is that what revenue per seat?
So, we have been able to achieve 7,500 to 8,000 rupees per seat.
So approximately 30 crore per annum or 7 odd crores per quarter we can see incremental in Q4, 7 crore incremental in Q4.
Yes, so we have also committed and probably mentioned that in our presentation as well as the media release, that an addition of 2.5 to 2.75 crores per month would start hitting in the books from the month of January from this single center. Obviously, the other centers that would go live would have incremental addition in the revenue, but this single center would be the biggest incremental add-on in the revenue.
Okay, and The rest of the 2,000 seats, can you tell us when they are coming online?
So there are three centers in totality. One is 3.15 lakh square feet that we just discussed. The other one is 30,000 square feet of area in Pune.
Can you tell me in number of seats, please, instead of square feet? That would be helpful for us to model.
Sure. So the first asset in Ahmedabad of 3.15 lakh square feet has 4,000 seats. That is 3,900 precisely. The second center would be in Pune. That would have 400 seats. And there we have just started the pickup. So we are expecting the revenues to start from mid of March towards the end of March. And the third center, third center that we have taken up is in Ahmedabad. That's 84,000 square feet and 600 seats, which we are doing it at in phases. The first phase would go live on the month of January with 300 seats. And the next phase would go live of the remaining 300 seats from the month of April.
From April, okay. And beyond the 6,000, for FY27, do you have any plans to increase the number of seats?
So, in totality, in the next 12 to 18 months, including this current 6,000 seats, in totality, the plan is to add 14 to 15,000 seats. So the remaining, so the remaining inventory, the plan is to add up something in Pune, where we have started exploring with our current existing demand on hand, and we would be adding a new inventory in Chennai.
Okay. So beyond 6,000, you will have another 8 to 10,000 seats, which will come in Chennai and Pune.
Which will come in Chennai, Pune, and one more center in Ahmedabad, which is going live from June or July 2026. So in totality, center-wise, if you ask me, it would be 3 to 4 centers, which would be adding up roughly 10 to 11,000 seats.
In addition to the 6,000,
yes.
So the 6,000 will all be online by March 2026, and then 10,000 plus will come online by June, July 2026.
So the remaining 10,000 would come down in the next 12 months of center. So we can expect by November to December to go live. So June is when we'll get the position for fit out. So technically it takes 3 months for the complete position to come in.
November, December. Understood. And we can assume the average revenue per seat will be approximately 7 to 8,000, between 7 to 8,000, right?
Correct.
Can all these will also be preoccupied, like this current one, which you are coming on in Jan?
So the remaining, so if I bifurcate this into, let's say, incremental of 13,000 seats, and if I remove 4,000 seats from it, the remaining 9,000 seats already has 45% of pre-commitment.
Pre-commitment, okay.
Yes.
I have one last question related to the industry.
Sure.
Apparently, the likes of you and other companies are doing very well because the supply is not there to meet the demand. So, the market is fairly tight. So, until when do you think that this kind of rosy industry scenario will exist? That's one. And second question is there any risk you see for your company or the industry?
Sure. Interesting question, sir. So, I'll answer the first piece. The buoyancy that you are seeing in the flex sector since last few years has largely, as you correctly mentioned, that has largely been because of the fact that the supply has always been running behind the demand that is there. But considering the fact, the growth at which the country is at, the influx of global capability centers, the advent of local companies scaling up, that is always going to be extremely high. I don't foresee, this is because I'm part of the industry or I am holding a chair what I am right now, but in general sense as well, there's a lot of optimism and positivity in the country. And that ultimately results into consumption of office spaces, because ultimately businesses are going to be driven from offices. And that would result into a lot of transactional consumption of office spaces in the overall leasing industry. Now, flex is a subset of the primary leasing industry. So if you see 40 million square feet being consumed in the first half of 2025, almost 12% was contributed by flex. If I further bifurcate that within the top 6 cities, 80% of that consumption would be in those 6 cities. And the remaining 20% would be across the tier 2 cities. Now, this number is going to keep on increasing. Even if the broader leasing industry grows, let's say, at a 7 to 9% CAGR, the underlying or the subset, which is the flex industry, is going to rapidly grow up because the base of it was very low. And that low base is resulting into, you know, generating a lot of eyeballs in seeing the fact that a lot of consumption is happening. But the efforts to reach to this consumption state has been put in since 2018-2019. So I don't foresee challenges in terms of additional players or probably more competition coming into this sector. I believe there is a lot of pie available for all quality players operating into this sector. That is my personal thought process. And the second question, the threats, I don't foresee internal threats into this sector and for us as Vivek. But external threats, I wouldn't shy away from saying that there are external threats. COVID can be one of the threats that we can be referring to. World War can be one of the threats that we can be discussing, the state at which we are. Geopolitical tensions can result into external risks getting added in the books. But these are fewer risks, which I believe is true not only for our business, for our industry, but that stays true for majority of the industries that are operating in the country.
Understood. Can I squeeze in two more questions, please? The book.
Absolutely, sir. I am all here for you.
Yeah. So I just wanted to know, since you repaid your debt, when did you repay it? Will the interest cost reduce in the second half? And if it will, what is the sustainable interest cost? And you have not paid your tax this quarter. So why is that? The taxes were negative. So can you help me with these two, please?
Sure. The first piece, we have significantly brought down the debt piece. We are today at our debt to equity ratio today, if I share, from a significant number of 2.6x, we are today at 0.37 number. I believe that in this sector and as an organization, it can be easily sustainable up till 1.3, 1.4 to kind of honor the commitments that would be getting generated. But we are today at a very stable level with high equity influx in the books. And a very steady and strong cash flow of 18.5% cash EBIT being generated. So that is obviously going to contribute in the incremental PAT margins in the coming quarter. That is one. And second question, you mentioned about the tax not being paid. You're referring to
the negative tax. I just was wondering why.
Let's see. Can you just give me a second? I'll check with just before. I'll have Mr. Parin Shah, who is the joint CFO in the company, to respond to this.
Good evening. So basically, you see that the current tax is negative because of the last year losses of carry forward and the deferred tax effects come into the P&L. That's why you can see that the numbers are in negative. But we paid and we already accumulated the numbers like to pay the tax.
Mm-hmm. So how much tax asset do you have remaining?
So for the next if we add more profit from this next financial year from the two assets, then after 27 we have to pay the tax.
So for FY26 and FY27 no tax.
No tax. Like minimal tax, not
minimal. But in quarter one you paid some tax.
Quarter one basically it's not effect of the balance sheet. Doing the, because H1 is like you come to the picture where you have to prepare all the data. So half yearly 25 and half yearly 26, you can see that we have paid. Because last time we have filed the DRHP on the half yearly 30th September number. So these are the things we consider a tax in this particular quarter, a half year, the next half year, you also see that some numbers where deferred tax unpaid is available.
And from okay, understood. Got it. Thank you and best of luck, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Sneha Duri, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my question. My question was regarding occupancy rate. What will be the occupancy rate, break-even occupancy rate for our company? And recently, when the new inventory will come, do you think the occupancy rate will go down in the short term? And how would you increase from this one?
Sure. Thank you, ma'am, for the question. Historically, see, we have been operating at a north of 85% occupancy rate. If you see, we've been hovering at 8% of occupancy level. Largely, the metrics under us, monitor us, or measure us is not only occupancy level. I feel that our testament to the fact that they have been staying with us beyond the optimization. That is one of the fundamental factors that we should assess upon. And we have a higher surface space there. So, A, I would have a customer on hand before I would sign up, commit. Occupancy level would never be known as such. Being higher surface space there, I am not looking to refill or refill my inventory on a concurrent or an ongoing basis. There is a constant flow of enterprise customers who have been backing us and supporting us and they're staying with us even during the lock-in period, even after the lock-in period, and also planning their future expansions along with us. So, I have not personally seen in the last 7 weeks our occupancy level going below 80 to 85.
Okay. And what would be the break-even occupancy rate?
So, we typically start our centers with 50-55%. Our break-even comes at a 60-72% range, depending what quantum of supply, what price point is it close with the client. But broadly, that number hovers between 68-72%.
Okay. Okay, understood. And may I know the reason of tax margins being lower and despite having a healthy EBITDA margin?
So, tax margin, if you see, if you, I'm assuming you're comparing it to the previous year when we had achieved a 7 crore tax margin. The fall is because other income going down. On the standalone financials, if you see, we have increased our EBITDA margin from 52% to 65%. So, at the standalone at a console level, our margins have increased. It is the inclusion of other income, which is not reflecting this quarter, is the reason why the tax margins are going down. But if you see, we have closed our books profitably last quarter and even this quarter, if I exclude the other income. So other income that was reflected in the previous half of 25 was fair market value that was presumed from the investment that we have done in startups. Now, that fair market value is consistent today when we speak, and hence it is not translated into booster income from startups. But I personally would always treat the business to be the core functionality. All the metrics that we have defined, designed, is on the core fundamental revenue that we generate as business, and not on the other income.
Understood. Sure. Thank you for the answer.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Viraj Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello, I'm Arthur.
Hi, sir. Good evening.
Hi, yes, good evening, sir. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So I had two questions. Which city, if you have a breakup, which cities majorly contribute to the year-over-year increase in operational area and fleet capacity?
Good question, sir. Our broader focus, as I keep on mentioning, that the rising Bharat story is what we would do capitalize on, and our split between tier 2 city and tier 1 cities would be always 70-30% ratio, wherein 70% growth would happen in tier 2 cities. So, sir, for internally, our definition of tier 2 cities is comprised of cities like Ahmedabad, Baroda, Jaipur, Gandhinagar, Surat, Indore, Rajkot, Udaipur. These are tier 2 cities for me. And tier 1 cities are Pune, Hyderabad, Delhi NCR, and Mumbai. So it has always been 70-30 split. And going forward, the split would continue in the same fashion. We would also grow. We would also grow organically in tier 1 cities. But the campus style take up would come up in tier 2 cities.
Okay. So the 70% is for tier 2 cities, right?
Correct.
Okay. Cool. Thank you. One more question is there any percentage of your upcoming fit outs that you've already given under client commitment, or if you say pre-leased per se?
So we'll go asset by asset in this. One asset of 3.15 lakh square feet, which is coming up as a single managed office space campus in Ahmedabad, that 3.15 lakh square feet would have 3,990 seats. Out of that, we already have 95% committed.
Okay.
Right? So that would increase our current asset under management of 8.9 lakh square feet, roughly around 12.5 lakh square feet of area with 13,500 seats to somewhere around 17,500 seats.
Okay.
This is one. In addition to that, we would have roughly 1.2 lakh square feet, which is spread between two centers. One coming up in Ahmedabad with a developer called Ganesh Housing. They are coming up with an integrated IT tech park. There we have 84,000 square feet of area, which is phased out into this, one going live in January, other one going live. So 300 seats going live. That 300 seats per year is around 800. Is to be identified. The third asset is Pune, which has 30,000 square feet, 400 seats going live. In 30 seats is committed, and the remaining eight to be identified. The goal would be to be
okay. Okay. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. Yes. Thank you so much, sir, for the opportunity. Have a
all thank you. For the thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Utkarsh Somaya from Eco Quantum Solutions Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Oh, thanks, Ajay. I just had to confirm one data point. Given that you'll have approximately, so by December 2026, should you have around 29,500 seats after your expansions?
Yes.
The goal is around 29,000 seats. Sorry,
your voice is cracking, sir. Right. I think it should be anywhere between 28,000.
Sir, I'm unable to hear you. Your voice is cracking.
Hello, this is your operator. Sir, your voice is breaking. Can you please come close to the mic?
Is this okay?
No, sir. It's still cracking.
Okay. I'm stagnant at the same place. Let me answer it from some other phone. Just a second.
Sir, this was better now.
This is better?
Yes, sir.
Yes. So, answering the question, by December 26, we would be anywhere between 28,000 to 30,000 seats.
And a ballpark 7,500 per seat per month should give you a revenue of around 260 crores per annum?
Correct. That is absolutely true. By March 27, we are looking to close the books anywhere between 330 to 350 crores consolidated level. At obviously DevEx level, we should be at 250 to 260 crores.
260, can you just say that again? Can you repeat that line, please?
I was saying that by March 27, we are expecting to reach anywhere between 330 to 350 crores at a consolidated level in terms of revenue. At standalone, we are looking to reach anywhere between 250 to 260 crores.
Sir, but your incremental 10,000 seats are only coming in December 2026. So for the year FY27, how will you reach 350 crores? Because this revenue, most of the revenue will come in FY28, right? Because
only in December. 350 crores is at a consolidated level. So which essentially would mean, so I'll give the breakup. So if you see today, we have made some strategic efforts and investments into our subsidiary. One of our support mechanism and strength is the faster delivery of fit-outs. We have a subsidiary called Nedel & Thread, wherein we do design and build solutions for external clients as well. So that has grown significantly. We have invested into our resources since last 3 years. So the growth in that venture, if you see, we have grown from 12.5 crores in 23 to around 30 odd crores last year, and we are already on track to achieve 65 crores of revenue in March 26. For that unit, we are looking to achieve anywhere between 65 to 100 crores of revenue. That is one. Second, our second subsidiary, which is a technology company, SaaS-based Solutions Private Limited, there the GTM that we are looking to explore has already been settled down. Our existing clients are also adopting those solutions, and that would also result into contributing anywhere between 7 to 10 crores of revenue.
FY 2026, FY26, right?
The ending of March 27, sir.
March 27. So out of 350, 330 to 350, 65 will be from design and build, and 8 crore will be from technology. And the rest will be from your number of seats.
Correct. So 65 to 100 would be design and build, sir.
Yeah, got that. Yes.
65 is my current number in design and build. That is March 26th, I am looking to close and achieve 65 crores in design and build as a standalone unit. Next year, I'm obviously eyeing a little bit higher, between 65 to 100 crores. That is one. Secondly, by the subsidiary of technology, they're looking to add between 8 and crores of revenue in March 27 calendar.
And in so far in first half, what is the revenue for design and build and technology?
We have achieved the between 30 to 40 crores of revenue design and build. And in revenue, in technology, we have reached a monthly recurring rate of $50,000.
$50,000, 30 lakh rupees. Monthly recurring.
Correct. Because there is the revenue recognition. So all our businesses are something that the enterprise client sticks to us for longer duration.
Okay. And just like you gave 330 to 350 crore consol guidance for 27, can you give me the same for 26, please? Sorry, sir, your voice is cracking again.
Better now?
Yes.
Yeah. Anywhere between 220 to 250 crores is what we'll be achieving this year.
Oh, that means the second half will be very strong. Because first half we have only done 70 crores, if I'm not wrong.
No, sir. First half we've done 107 crores, sir.
Sorry, I was looking at standalone numbers. Okay, 107 and you said 220 to 250. Okay, so that's sir, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Good luck.
Yep, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. We take that as the last question for today's conference. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Umesh Uttamchandani, Managing Director of Dev Accelerator Limited, for closing comments.
So thank you so much, everybody. This was our first earnings call. I really appreciate the support that everybody has provided, and thank you for being on the call. We look forward to answering all your queries and your support in the coming quarters as well. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Dave Accelerator Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.